Chapter 7. From Focus on Guilt to Focus on Innocence. Imagine your life as a long-running movie. Now see it made by two different directors. The first movie, in the hands of one director, is a movie about fear, anger, scarcity, and anxiety. The other, in the hands of a different director, is a movie about love, peace, abundance, and happiness. One director is your ego. The other is the Holy Spirit. And the star of the movie is you. Which director you take your cues from depends on one thing, the thoughts you hold in your mind. To take directions from your ego, all you have to do is focus on guilt. The ego's whole script is built on this one thought, that the child of God is guilty. To take your direction from the Holy Spirit, focus instead on innocence. Love's script is built on the thought that the child of God is innocent. Whichever focus we choose, on someone's innocence or on their guilt, determines the drama that unfolds in our lives and the part that we play in it. It is the willingness to see the innocence in a person that allows us to see it. The ego mind is so invested in the human drama. He did this, she said that, that it often takes a higher power to counterbalance the ego's insistence. It helps us to remember that the ego's true target is you. Your ego wants you to see guilt in others, mainly so that you might stay convinced of all the guilt in yourself. The perception of guilt in anyone is our surefire ticket to hell. Every time we blame another, we are tightening the chains that keep our own self-hatred in place. Yet forgiveness can be very hard when someone has acted horribly. But the truth, whether or not we care to admit it, is that someone did what we too might have done if we had been as freaked out by something as they were, if we had been as scared or damaged as they were, if we had been as limited in our understanding as they were. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be held accountable or that we shouldn't have boundaries and standards. It doesn't even mean we have to stay in contact with that person. But it does mean that we can come to understand humanity is not perfect. Just knowing that we all do the best we know how with the skills we have at the time, is a realization that opens the heart to a more enlightened understanding. And that's what we're on the earth for, because in the presence of people with enlightened understanding, darkness ultimately turns into light. With every human encounter, we either affirm for people their innocence or fortify their guilt. And whichever it is how we ourselves will feel. We cannot escape our oneness even if we don't acknowledge it. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you, because they will. And even if they don't, you will feel as though they did. Because all minds are joined, whatever I choose to think about you, I am in essence thinking about myself. To the extent to which I perceive your guilt, I am bound to perceive my own. It doesn't feel that way at first, of course, because the ego would have us believe that as soon as we place the blame on someone else, we'll feel better. But that's just a temporary delusion, something the ego specializes in. Once we get over the hit of having cast the blame away from us, it will come back to us 100-fold. An attack thought is like a sword we think we're dropping on someone else's head, when in fact, it's dropping on our own. If I have faith in another person's innocence, then I can have faith in mine. If I'm committed to another person's guilt, then I will not be able to escape a sense of my own. Only if I'm willing to be easier on others will I ever learn how to be easier on myself. Within the world, there are very serious things we have to forgive. Forgiveness begins, as do all issues of enlightenment, as merely an intellectual concept. It has yet to make its journey without distance from the head to the heart. It often takes a while to become integrated into our emotional nature. It seems to run counter to reason that we would choose to see the innocence in a person beyond their mistake, yet that is the visionary as well as the most powerful aspect of faith. Our experience of a person might be that they mistreated us, while our faith is that they are still yet an innocent child of God. There is no such thing as a faithless person. We either have faith in the reality of guilt and fear, or we have faith in the reality of innocence and love. Radical forgiveness is not a lack of discernment or the product of fuzzy thinking. It is what A Course in Miracles calls selective remembering. We choose to remember the love we experienced and to let the rest go as the illusion it actually was. This doesn't make us more vulnerable to manipulation or exploitation. In fact, it makes us less so. for the mind that forgives is a mind that is closer to its true nature. The fact that I forgive you doesn't mean you won. It doesn't mean you got away with something. It simply means I'm free to go back to the light, reclaim my inner peace, and stay there. Sin versus error. The world of guilt is based on one notion, the reality of sin. Yet sin is an arbitrary term that means we missed the mark. We sent forth a thought, and sometimes we miss the loving bullseye. All of us miss the mark of God's love over and over and over again. Who among us is the right-minded, love-centered, all-forgiving person we would like to be 24 hours a day? None of us, but we are on this earth to learn how to be. God's desire when we fall short is not to punish us, but to correct us and teach us how to do better. What we think of as our sins were mental miscreations, and though some of our errors are grave, even wicked, there is no end to God's forgiveness and love. When someone makes an error, we're often tempted to focus all our attention on that person's wrongdoing, even if we previously experienced their goodness. The ego is like a scavenger dog, ever on the lookout for the slightest bit of evidence that someone has made a mistake or wronged us in any way. Notice how much less vigilance we apply to seeking out the good in people. The ego mind is on an instinctive rampage to find the guilt and proclaim the guilt in any and all, even ourselves. It is literally a mental attack machine. Its message to anyone, spoken or unspoken, is you screwed up, you're not good enough. Judgment, blame, and guilt are the ego's fuel. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is the voice for love. It guides us to keep faith with the truth of God, that all of us are innocent because that is how He created us. This doesn't mean that what people do does not matter or that evil does not exist. It simply means that our task as miracle workers is to extend our perception beyond what our physical senses perceive to what we know to be true in our hearts. When people do things that are not loving, it means they have lost contact with their own true nature. They have fallen asleep to who they truly are, dreaming the dream of an angry self, or an arrogant self, or a cruel self, and so forth. Our mission as miracle workers is to remain awake to the beauty in people, even when they have forgotten it themselves. In that way, we subconsciously remind them who they are. As disciples of the Holy Spirit, we simultaneously see both the worldly error and the spiritual perfection in people. And in sharing God's perspective on human error, a desire to heal as opposed to a desire to punish, we become conduits for His healing power, and thus we too are healed. To the ego, this is outrageous. How dare we declare the child of God innocent? Can't we see what a dark and sinful creature he is? Even religions that claim God is good seem bent at times on finding His children guilty. Many religions point their fingers critically, not realizing that the pointed finger itself is the source of all evil. It is the concept of enemy that is our greatest enemy of all. What about Archie Bunker? During one of my lectures, a man rose to ask a question. I don't have a problem with anything you're saying, he said, but my problem is what happens when I leave this place. What do you do with people who don't believe this way? Like my father, he's like Archie Bunker. What do I do about him? Many heads in the room started nodding, but I inwardly smiled because God doesn't let us get away with that one. Do you want to know? I asked. Do you really want to know what A Course in Miracles would say? He nodded. It would say you need to stop judging your father. He and hundreds of others had a look on their face as though to say, right, of course, I get it. I continued, only what we are not giving can be lacking in any situation. That is what A Course in Miracles says. God sent us here to work miracles, and we can only do that when we have given up our judgments. You can have a grievance or you can have a miracle. You cannot have both. How can you help awaken your dad to his innocence if you yourself are stuck focusing on his guilt? And that's not to say it's always easy either. But according to A Course in Miracles, the primary responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself We are not here to monitor the spiritual progress of other people. The issues God wants us to address first and foremost are our own.